and welcome to Beyond Reproach. This is Stephanie Domingo.
And I'm Tux Lerzel.
We come to you from, well, actually Flatbush, Brooklyn.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, I think I said Bushwick last time, just out of habit. Flatbush, Brooklyn, and Detroit, Michigan, mm-hmm. where we record on land belonging to the Lenape Nation and the Ojibwe, Ottawa, Potawatomi. Potawatomi, ooh, I love that. It's a sparkly word.
Potawatomi.
It's like bamboozled.
Cattywampus.
Oh, how dare you. I recently sent Tux this list that I saw on Instagram of just like old timey words that are really fun to say.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to this. Sorry.
What
Sorry.
Was it? There was one. Everything was sort of like an old timey phrase that's silly, just sort of silly. And then there was one. Like,
oh yeah.
Pumpernickel.
Pumpernickel. Pumpernickel. Which is kind of like, I get it.
Yeah. It is. It sounds like it belongs on that list. But
yeah.
The way those, all of the words were sort of just like old people nonsense words.
Yeah.
And then
like shenanigans.
Yeah. Cattywampus.
They were all Tux words.
Yes.
Is
exactly.
What I'm trying to say. So I left out the Wyandot Nation. So these nations are very much still out here doing their thing. And we would like to acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
This is the show where we talk about whatever we want because we don't have any formats for our mini-sodes.
Formats are so 2020.
Yeah, and we be drinking, we be swearing. Since Tux and I are recording virtually, I am left to my own devices. And Stephanie is lazy. She is drinking Sauvignon Blanc from a can.
Nice. So you're doing more than I am. I have been working all day. I've been tiling my bathroom and painting ceilings and stuff. So I am drinking water.
Oh my God.
I would be asleep right now if I were drinking wine and recording at the same time.
Yeah. No, I get it. You've been doing a lot.
But yeah, we're drinking. Well, you're drinking.
Hi, gay.
Hi, gay.
It's June.
Yes.
It's the season for just everyone to say hi, gay.
Uh-huh. Corporate rainbow washing.
Yeah. It's so strong this year, but I guess it was strong last year as well.
It's the way. It is the new way. Yeah, yeah. I logged into my Apple TV the other day and noticed that the Paramount Plus app is now the like, you know how it's like a mountain? The background is a rainbow mountain.
No one asked for this.
Yeah.
No one. We just want to keep our rights. Like, can we just have that? Like, we don't. We
I mean,
need
maybe
a marketing
maybe,
campaign.
Yeah, they know that I'm only using Paramount Plus to watch Drag Race All Stars.
Oh, no, they're doing this across the board.
Yeah, exactly.
They're
exactly.
doing this for people who I don't know watch sports.
Yeah, they're watching the other kind of Drag Race.
Oh my God, that reminds me. So I was in a meeting like 2 weeks ago, and I don't know how I got on the topic of Drag Race, but I did because I am me. And it was a in-department meeting. It wasn't like, it was just me and my team.
Okay.
And my boss is just like, you watch NASCAR? And like, the guy who works below me, like, he's just like, drag queens. Like, and then
That's
he like, he,
incredible.
He wouldn't let it go the whole meeting. He's like, you thought Stephanie, like Stephanie, Stephanie was in a NASCAR.
She loves, what's his name? I don't even know NASCAR people. Earnhardt.
Dale?
Wow. Yes. Yeah, we got one.
Look at us.
With our powers combined.
We are, yes. We know things about straight stuff.
Yeah.
Like male stuff. But yeah, he couldn't let it go. He just like kept teasing her. Just like, and she's like, oh, you know, you never know what people are into. And I'm just like, girl, no.
If you had to, if a stranger said Drag Race to me, I feel like I would be able to tell which Drag Race they meant just by looking at them.
Same.
Yeah.
1000%. Yes. It should be really, really obvious, but you know. It wasn't, and we had a little laugh, like, offline when we ended our meeting. Like,
yeah.
me and Eric were just like, what was that about?
And context clues, too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sure there are plenty of gay people out there who watch, like, NASCAR racing
I was
as
talking,
well.
Now I remember what what like made it come to my mind. We were talking about reality TV, and my boss was saying that she hates reality TV because it's so negative and you end up kind of hate watching and everyone is so just nasty to each other. And I'm just like, no, but that's not Drag Race. I mean, there is some cattiness. They do read each other, but it's not, it's generally, you don't watch it to see people being torn down.
And she's like, and her first thought was NASCAR.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Right?
Yeah. Well, we should probably talk about the topic at hand today for this here minisode. So last week I talked about AIDS and Ronald Reagan's response to the AIDS crisis in the US in the 1980s. And I had a really hard time kind of coming up with a topic to build on that for today's mini. You know, I do at some point want to go back and revisit the idea of the moral majority. But I think that it's too big of a topic to try and tackle it in a mini. That deserves to be its own episode. So I think at some point that will happen next season. So I kind of hemmed and hawed. I thought a little bit about talking about Ronald Reagan's son, Ron, who is an outspoken atheist and liberal political commentator.
I would love to know more about
Yeah,
Ron.
he is really interesting. I did do some research, but it's sort of more just like it's an interesting factoid that Ronald Reagan's youngest son is an outspoken atheist and a spokesperson for the Freedom From Religion Foundation. But there's not really a lot there, so I decided that was not a great topic. So, since last week's topic was such a bummer, I decided we should just talk about Pride this week. It is June after all, so why not Pride?
We've never
So,
done a Pride episode either.
yeah, we've sort of danced around the idea of Pride before. And we've talked about it a little bit, but we've never talked about it head on.
I think we talked about Mickey Mouse pajamas,
Yes,
like
that we have. Yes.
offhand comments
Yeah.
about rainbow washing.
So, you know, I feel like most people in the world, and probably most of our listeners, already know that Stonewall kind of kicked off the modern Pride moment or movement as we know it. Everyone probably knows about Stonewall and what it was,
I hope so.
but just to give a little bit of a refresher for those who might not or could use a little reminder, it was one of, if not the most well-known struggles between police and the LGBTQ plus community. Stonewall happened at the end of June. I think it was June 28th, 1969, which is why Pride celebrations are held in June today. So, if you don't know, it all started with a police raid on a bar called the Stonewall Inn in Greenwich Village. It was really common at the time for police to come in and arrest patrons of gay bars anywhere in the city. A lot of gay bars at that time, because it was, you know, not there were not a lot of vocal out proud business owners who were gay. So a lot of gay bars were owned by the mob or the mafia. Because of their ties to organized crime, they would make arrangements with the police to let them operate a gay bar, even though sodomy was illegal. It was illegal to dress in clothing that didn't correspond to your gender. So basically, the mafia would sort of like set up these bars and pay
I
off
did
the
not
police.
know that.
Yeah.
Who knew the mafia had its like positive
I
uses?
mean, they were doing it for the wrong reasons because they
I
knew,
mean, I am all about doing things
the right
like
things for the wrong reasons.
I will take it. I'll
Yeah,
take it.
totally.
Like we can't be choosy about this. Like
Yeah,
they're
but they knew how to pay off the police, basically. And that's so you couldn't operate a gay bar if you didn't pay off the police. But the police would still do these raids. A lot of times they would warn the owners of the bars in advance so that they could get their money and stuff and their people out, and they would just arrest the patrons of the bars.
Fucked up.
Yeah, because the police had their quotas.
Yeah.
And they needed to arrest a certain number of, you know, faggots.
So when they were like doing raids back then, they were also like taking their money, like stealing money.
I don't really know exactly how it all goes, but I do think that they might, yeah.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, I mean, exactly. if they're already taking bribes, then they're kind of already operating outside the law.
Like the big wigs are the ones that are getting paid off. The you know, upper echelons of the police are getting paid off. So if there's a bunch of money around when the beat cops come in and arrest people, they're going to take the money, you know?
Yeah. Because it's like, who's going to stop us?
Exactly.
Oh, the police?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah. So yeah, they would come in, they would, if you know, if there were cross-dressers or drag queens or transvestites in the bar, they would arrest them because they were wearing the wrong clothing. If anyone was like touching inappropriately and they saw it, they would be arrested, that kind of thing. Because, you know, it's all illegal at this point.
They probably just arrested everyone though, right?
Not necessarily. No, not always. Okay. If you were like sitting by yourself, not touching, not kissing, and you didn't have lipstick on or like the wrong clothing, they would let you go. They might rough you up a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. And if you didn't mouth off or whatever, they did this really horrible practice of like, especially if you were a drag queen or if you were wearing too much women's clothing and you were mouthy, the Stonewall Inn didn't have a sink. Like, they didn't have proper plumbing to dump their drinks into. So if there were leftover, if there was like a little bit of a drink left in a glass and there was like cigarette butts in it or whatever, they would dump it all in a bucket and then they would just dump it out at the end of the night. And the police would like put your head in the bucket if you were mouthing off or whatever. Yeah. But so one night at the end of June in 1969, the police came in. It was a really hot night. People were just fed up and they were like, no, fuck this. I'm sick of this shit. So they came in, they started arresting people. There was a crowd of people outside because the people that they let go, the people they didn't arrest, kind of like stood outside and watched. And people started getting really rowdy and basically people started fighting back. And then the crowd that was outside joined in. And, you know, that area of town in Greenwich Village, there were a lot of gay people around who saw what was going on and joined in.
Yeah.
And they really fought off the police and the police had to retreat. And then there was street confrontations against the police all over the city for like the next week. Especially at night, because it was hot. It was the summer.
It's like, do the right thing.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Totally.
When it's
hot. A lot of people will talk about how, like, who threw the first brick.
Yes, there's controversy over like if it was like Marsha P.
Yeah,
said it wasn't.
Yeah, there's. Yeah, that's basically a lot of people believe that it was. There's no confirmation that it actually was Marsha P. Johnson. It may have been, but it's actually not likely. She was probably there or was definitely there, but nobody really knows for sure who was the first person to really start getting rowdy. It's also not likely that there was ever an actual brick thrown. There were no bricks around. There was no construction site.
Yo, you never know. Like, after doing the Harvey scandal, the fact that people could rip up the street and throw
That's true. Yeah, like, yeah. It's possible that somebody had a brick with them for protection or whatever. But the idea, when you say who threw the first brick, it gives the impression that there was a pile of bricks.
Yeah,
and
no,
people,
that's true. Yeah,
you know, like started throwing bricks.
When you said maybe someone brought their own brick for protection, I'm just picturing someone with like a bag specially like formulated for a brick.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I love that.
But yeah, people were just fed up. It was a really hot night. Also, Judy Garland had just died that day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So a lot of people were really upset. There's also some people say like it was a younger crowd at the Stonewall.
Oh, okay. So they didn't
so
really
they
know.
Might not have been super upset about Judy Garland, but it was still, she's still a gay icon. So I think people were just like, this
day
fucking sucks.
Like, yeah. feel like back then they would have known about Judy Garland.
Oh, they would have known. Yeah, yeah, but like they were just now, like, it was an older
reference.
And yeah, they definitely would have known and would have cared that she had died. It yeah. was just like she wasn't their icon.
Ah, okay. You know I what see. I mean?
It's like
they
she was like
tied to her emotionally.
She was like Madonna instead of Gaga.
Ah, yes.
You know what I mean?
Generational.
Exactly. They still would have cared, but they wouldn't have been like so upset that they were like, yeah, tonight's the night I'm fighting the police for Judy.
Yes. They wouldn't have been weeping as yeah. they throw bricks
yeah.
in Judy's name.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's important to note that the Stonewall riots, though, even though they're the most well-known, they were not the first time that the LGBTQ people stood up against police harassment.
I love that you said that because, sorry to jump in.
No, go for it.
But last year, I wrote an article for my company's D&I committee. It's now known as a DE&I, like diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Ah,
I'm like,
okay.
Oh, wait, are you guys going to like start paying us more?
I know.
Like, okay, I'll take the DEI committee.
Yeah.
But I wrote a piece that was an interview of Tux. It was a way for me to have a bit of a shameless plug and also talk about pride.
Yeah.
I just think that a lot of people think that like gay people like popped on the scene after Stonewall.
Yeah, there was nothing happening before that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's so, so incorrect. And I know they think this way because we are not taught this in school, and
exactly.
it's by design.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll just let you go on and
I mean,
educate
it's,
the people.
Yeah. I talked a lot. Was it last year when I talked about Frank Kameny and like the Mattachine Society? Like that was all happening before Stonewall. But also there were several other like violent struggles between young gay people and the police that happened before Stonewall. It's just that Stonewall was the most vocal, visible, and got the most media attention.
Yeah, and I think it helped because it was New York City.
Exactly, yeah. Well, there was a big one in LA at a place called Cooper's Donuts. There was a riot, and there was a riot in San Francisco at Compton's Cafeteria where LGBTQ plus people clashed with police before Stonewall. So just to name a couple. But yeah, Stonewall, for whatever reason, got a lot of media attention. I think it's because it continued over the course of a week.
A week, you said, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it was very visible because New York is such a tight city and people, you couldn't not see it happening.
And there was a lot happening in the late 60s too. Like I feel like
absolutely
this, there was a lot of like fervor over just pushing for equal rights for
exactly.
all sorts of things.
The summer
of 69.
So I feel
like that was it was kind of tied to that.
Exactly.
And like that's why the focus, because you know they were focusing on a lot of movements towards equality.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I think this is a good time to throw a little break in here. You can go get another can of wine. I'll put some more ice cubes in my water glass.
My liquor store has a very small selection, okay? And I just wanted two cans of wine. Leave me alone.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with a can of wine. I'm not afraid of a boxed wine, especially like rosé or something that, you know what I mean? Like, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love a boxed wine.
Don't be ashamed. There's some very good like French rosés that you can get in a box. Just putting that out there.
Yeah. It's just me. So I'm just like, I don't need a whole box.
Yeah.
Or do I?
All right. We will be right back.
Bye. Hi, I'm Natalie.
And I'm Cass.
And we're the hosts of Shared History,
a comedic history podcast exploring the stories of the often overlooked or underrepresented.
The people and events your history books may have glossed over, whitewashed, man-washed, or left out completely.
From the Mayan creation myth to the Deaf President Now movement of the 1980s.
From ancient scientist Avicenna to first female principal chief of the Cherokee Nation, Wilma Mankiller.
If you saw it in a footnote once,
or have never heard of it,
we are here to share it with you.
Join us in a rotating guest list featuring scholars, writers, teachers, entertainers, entrepreneurs, subject matter experts, and more.
Tune in to Shared History on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, you know the drill.
And follow us at @sharedpod on Instagram and Twitter.
And as always,
share you later.
We're back. Yeah. Did you get another can of wine?
I most certainly did.
Still, what was it? Chardonnay?
Sauv Blanc.
Sauvignon Blanc, of course. Chardonnay. What's wrong with me?
Of course.
I mean, if I were going to choose a can of white wine, I would much rather drink Sauvignon Blanc than Chardonnay. I had a friend in college who just wanted everything to rhyme all the time. She loved to like have these weird little phrases and sayings that she would just say that were like sing-songy and rhymey. And she used to say, "Hey, hey, Chardonnay," all the time, like as a greeting. "Hey, hey, Chardonnay." And then I started saying that, and I said it to my friend Sonia once, and my mom heard me and thought that I was calling Sonia Chardonnay. And to this day, my mom still calls Sonia Chardonnay.
That is adorable.
Yeah.
I love how desperate moms are for connection. Yeah. No offense, Miss Brenda, but my mom is the same way. Like, she will start just using our words and, like, dropping them into conversation. Mm-hmm. And we're always just like,
that's
no.
Lit.
Basically.
Yeah.
What did she say? Oh, my God. She still says this. And I'm like, someone needs to tell her. So when I call home and I talk to my mom, she's like, "Do you want me to let you holla at your father?"
No.
Who told you about Ice Cube? Okay. Like, this is not okay. And like, no one has ever corrected. This is like, she's been doing this for a decade.
I love it.
It is so awful. Like, every time is like nails on a chalkboard.
Amazing. Like, Mom, you're embarrassing me.
I mean, there's no... I don't think that happens in black families. You just internalize it.
Yeah.
You take the L and you move on. We'll talk about therapy decades later.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right. Well, we should get back into this. All right. Chardonnay. Because the Stonewall riots were so well known and so visible and did get so much media attention, a lot of gay rights, like, organizers, especially groups like the Mattachine Society, Gay Activists Alliance, and the Gay Liberation Front really decided that this was the perfect moment to sort of, like, build on that spirit of resistance that was happening that summer and moving forward from that. So the following year, these groups decided to sort of get together and organize a march on the anniversary of Stonewall at the end of June. They called it Christopher Street Liberation Day on June 28th, 1970. They marched from Sheridan Square in Greenwich Village to the Sheep Meadow in Central Park, covering 51 blocks. They had a permit, and they attracted like thousands and thousands of people carrying banners and signs. And that was the first pride. That was like the first sort of, they kind of adopted this theme for this march of gay pride. They were, you know, at the time in the late 60s, early 70s, it was still seen as very shameful to be gay. Your family didn't want to know it, didn't want to hear about it, would disown you. And most Americans thought that you shouldn't tell anyone, you should hide, you should keep that part of you a secret. And they were like, no, this is not a shameful secret. We're going to be proud of who we are. Show the world that you can be proud to be homosexual or, you know, whatever. And so that's why they chose, that was supposed to just be the theme of that march that year, but it sort of just became an annual tradition to do a pride march in June.
I mean, it's a good theme.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a theme that unfortunately needs reinforcing every year.
Absolutely.
So I get it.
Yeah. So it soon expanded to other cities. Tons more cities started doing it throughout the 70s. And basically that's how it became the huge,
cool,
global phenomenon that it is today. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I think today a lot of people look at Pride, especially people who don't know the history of it, and don't care about the history of it look at Pride as sort of just a big like party. And I've seen a lot of people like, you know, Christian conservative straight people on the internet being like, why are you rubbing your sexuality in my face in June? Why do I have to see this all the time? I'm like, there's, you know, it has a history. And there's a reason that we celebrate Pride in June.
These same people say the same thing about every other.
Oh, like, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Pride, like celebration month.
If they were celebrating NASCAR, nobody would bat an eye.
Yeah.
Where's the white Pride?
Exactly.
Month?
Exactly. Yeah.
Bitch, every other month. Okay. Yeah, every other month.
Exactly. Yeah. And what's it's the, important.
The hetero Pride month. Every other month, bitch.
Every single
every
month.
Every other month.
Yeah. But even gay people who don't know the history of it, you know, it is important to keep in mind that like this was, it started as a protest. It was a political act. It was a struggle against police.
Oppression.
Yeah, exactly.
Violence.
Exactly. That's the whole reason we have Pride in the first place, was a violent clash with the police. It's so, it's really garbage that the police show up to Pride now and act like they don't still harass poor gay people, trans people of color, sex workers.
Yes.
In the same way that they were doing that night at the end of June in 1969. It's the exact same thing. It's still going on. And then they show up at Pride and like, look at us. We have a few gay people on the force. Hooray. We're doing the right thing.
Yeah. NYPD, you're never doing the right thing. Just just remember that.
Yeah.
You're not.
Yeah.
Maybe one day, because I have hopes for you. But like that day is not today.
You do?
When I say this, I mean 100 years from now.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Or at least a generation, because I do think, I know that this Gen Z is different.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Gen Z cops will be different.
True. Yeah. So well, fingers crossed.
They will be different.
I mean, but we need to get rid of that rule that they cannot live in the city, that they don't have to live in the city.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just saying generally, not just like the NYPD. I mean, like all police.
Yeah.
Like a police force staffed of Gen Z is going to be different.
Yeah. Yeah. There are conservative Gen Z people, though.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But they are in the minority.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why the Republicans are freaking out.
Totally. Exactly. Yeah. So I do also just kind of want to, we touched on this at the beginning of this episode, or mini-sode, even though it's turning into a medium-sode again.
I'm going to shut my mouth.
I do want to talk very briefly about rainbow washing and the way corporations show their quote-unquote support by doing nothing more than putting a rainbow on their logo and moving on with their day. Even though they're still making donations to anti-gay organizations like Focus on the Family, they slap a rainbow on a t-shirt and like, we show our gay pride. Like, hi, gay.
Hi, gay.
Yeah. So it's garbage that like companies like Walmart get to show their pride collections and act like they're doing the right things. But at the same, the flip side of that coin is that it does mean something for like a young gay person to go to a Walmart. Yes. Symbolism with jazz hands.
I was about to say, I'm like, I need to say that with my hands.
Symbolism. Yeah. But it is important for like young gay people, especially living in little tiny rural communities.
Absolutely.
Surrounded by conservative family and church goers and all that, to be able to walk into a Walmart and see a rainbow flag t-shirt and think like, I can be proud of who I am, even though I'm surrounded by these assholes, you know?
Yeah, no, that's real. Like, to be able to walk into a section that's like, you're okay. You're a human.
Exactly.
We support you, even though it's trash.
Yeah.
But like,
that's the thing. It's like, Walmart is still garbage.
No.
But it's good that
we support you is not what Walmart is doing at all.
Yeah.
We provide products for you.
Exactly. Yeah. But it is a powerful thing to see a rainbow flag for a young person and think like, you know, I'm not the worst because of who I am. It's powerful.
Yeah, no, it's like these people built out a whole collection for me.
Yeah, exactly.
And people
exactly.
like me.
Yeah. And this is also why it's really important that we try and fight against these, like, don't say gay bills that are happening. And, well, it started in Florida, but it's happening all over the country now. And this attitude that, like, homosexual, like, being gay is okay, but they shouldn't be teaching it in schools. I hear that all the time. It doesn't make any sense. Schools aren't teaching children to be gay, and they're not teaching children how to have gay sex. They're just teaching children that, like, gay people exist.
And have always existed since the
dawn
of time.
And, like, it's okay if you're gay. Period. End of story. They're not teaching anything more than that. And people are up in arms about it. It's lunacy.
It's trash, malarkey. Is what you meant to say. Yes. It's malarkey.
Yeah, because the alternative to that, if you're not seeing any visibility or representation as a young person, is shame and depression and a lot of times suicide.
Yeah.
LGBTQ youth are more than four times more likely to attempt suicide than their peers.
Wow.
More than four times more likely. And it's not because they're gay. It's because they're taught by their conservative
Absolutely.
Christian neighbors and family and friends that being gay is shameful.
They absorb it from the culture. You
exactly.
don't even really need to, no one needs to say a word.
Exactly.
You can just see behavior.
Yeah. So these young people think that they're better off dead than being who they are. And this is why pride is so important.
And it's so heartbreaking that children, like literal children, like youths, are choosing to end their lives because they feel like there's no hope.
Yeah, yeah,
and it's
exactly.
like you're 14, you just moved to New York.
Yeah.
And be broke.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah.
there's others
yeah,
that can be
totally.
Broke with you.
Exactly. Like yeah, you'll get 14 roommates and
yeah,
have a party.
And it's fine.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
like that they would think that nothing would change.
Yeah.
And that they need to take such drastic measures as a child. It's beyond heartbreaking.
Yeah, so I just wanted to talk a little bit about this today. You know, pride is important. Pride is more than just rainbows and parades.
Yes.
Since the beginning, pride has been a political event. It has always been about protest against unjust systems. Even when it's lighthearted and fun, that is the meaning behind it.
We can walk and chew gum. We can
exactly,
do two things.
Exactly. But and at the same time, the fun stuff is important too. Like pride should be a celebration.
Yeah.
Pride, you know, pride is, Stonewall was a riot and in more ways than one. You know what I mean? Like it's a fucking good time and that's okay too.
Yeah. No, it's a celebration.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's rooted in like radical queerness and
yeah.
like it's rejecting the binary. Like
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will celebrate that every day.
Yeah.
Not
we
just
deserve
in June.
We deserve to be able to celebrate our history and where we've come from and how far we've come. And you know what? Gay people are fucking great. Gay people are the best.
Yeah. My nephew is such a sweet little boy and I fear he's straight. And that's okay. But like that's my fear.
Yeah, yeah.
He's yeah. straight.
Right. Yeah. I don't I feel like when you're young
he's so sweet, so I'm like, maybe he's gay.
Yeah.
Which is so rude to say, but also it's accurate.
Yeah.
Because he like cares about the feelings of like young girls, like children like him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Either way, who cares one way or the other, especially right now,
I
the
guess.
Way kids the way kids are today, it really doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, that's
you know?
True.
Yeah. When I was a kid, especially being really young and sort of coming to terms with the fact that I was gay, it was like, I really wished that I wasn't. Life would just be so much easier if I wasn't. And like,
yeah.
just like, oh, I'm going to, you know, this is going to be a really hard life. But like now that I'm grown and now that I have like gay friends and know
yeah,
gay culture, like
yeah.
being gay, it's a blessing.
Right?
You know, a lot of people
yeah.
think it's a curse, but it is a blessing.
Yeah. You have community, which
yeah.
is what we all need.
And a lot of people don't have it. Like, especially like.
You mean straight people?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Straight white people, yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm yes. like... Ugh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, we were meant to live in communion with each other. We were meant to have community.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's what makes white people so angry, because they don't have it.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because it is sustaining. It is like... It
Your
is,
culture is hating people that don't look like you?
Yeah, I know, God.
You know, yeah.
Like, yeah.
That's my topic for today. I'm done there.
I love that. Yeah. And my can of wine is empty.
Perfect timing.
I don't know if you can hear my empty can of wine.
That is a very sad sound, that like hollow thud.
It's sad, like having wine on a Sunday night from a can. Sad.
That doesn't sound sad at all. I wish that I was having a can of wine right now.
It could be in a glass. I feel like that would be a little bit more celebratory, but whatever. Yeah. It's fine. It's
a goblet.
A goblet. I could be whole. A chalice.
A chalice,
holding it in my palm, like a fancy person. Yes.
My glass of water is empty as well.
Ooh, okay. Thank you so much for listening to Beyond Reproach. This has been Stephanie Domingo.
And Tux Lurzel.
Thank you to Tim Clough, our editor, sound engineer, and podfather. We could not do this without him.
True story.
Yes.
Thank you guys for listening. Go celebrate Pride. Do something.
Yeah. Do something amazing. Yeah. Do something like, I mean,
no even tiny little towns, the tiniest little towns have parades and stuff now. Take your kids. Go.
Yeah.
Go say gay.
Yeah. I'm volunteering. I'm doing like a Pride. Apparently, like the Pride floats, and like everyone who march in the parade in New York, they have to be registered.
Oh.
So my company has volunteered to be like the staff for that registration.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, I'm doing that like nice. the day of Pride, which is kind of fun.
I will be going to Detroit, Motor City Pride.
A week before New York's.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Come sleep on the couch. Go to Pride.
Might.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
All right.
Bye. Bye y'all.
Beyond Reproach is proudly recorded in Bushwick, Brooklyn, on land belonging to the Lenape Nation. Please note we are not historians. We are just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. Full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. Written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone who you think would be into it. Make sure you follow us on Instagram because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop on beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves. We have exclusive content on Patreon where you can directly support the production of our show.